Jesus' name, and the church says, amen. We're going to start this morning in verse 10. I'm just going to read that through before we get to our text in verse 14. But this morning, you know, I really have one more sermon in Philippians, but I'm going to try to finish it today. And I feel like I reserve the right maybe next Sunday to go back to Philippians. But this morning I'm saying this is our last sermon. Is that okay? All right. We know it's Paul's epistle of joy written from Rome, there in prison, chained to a guard 24/7. You know the word joy and rejoice all through this great epistle. And so as we've arrived here this morning, as we look at verse 10 from last Sunday, Paul says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at last your care for me has flourished or blossomed again, that you surely did care, but you lacked the opportunity." Remember, they didn't know that Paul was in prison, but the moment that they found that out, Epaphroditus was sent with that incredible gift. He says, "Not that I speak in regard to need." I have learned by experience in whatever state I am to be content or self-sufficient. He says, "I know how to be abased. I know how to live without. I know how to abound. I know how to live when things are going great in prosperity." He says, "I can do that everywhere in all things. I have learned both to be full, to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need." That word need, of course, means financial need. I mean, he was broke many, many times. So with all that being said, the last time we learned that the secret of contentment is only found in one person, and he is Jesus Christ. Amen? He is definitely the secret to contentment. And the reason for a Christian to be discontented is that you have not learned that Jesus is really just all you need. And that's why Paul the Apostle from last Sunday closed out in verse 13. He says, "For I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." So Christ's strength was the source of Paul's strength or sufficiency. Paul the Apostle now this morning, writing to the church at Ephesus, one of the most tender scenes in the Bible. There in Acts chapter 20, he's telling them, the Ephesian elders, goodbye. He's getting ready to set sail and leave. And he says this in Acts 20:33. He says, "I've coveted no one's silver, no one's gold, or anyone's clothing. Yes, you yourself know that these hands," Paul says, remember he was a tent maker, "these hands have provided for my necessities," and catch this, "and also for those who were with me. I have shown you in every way," or literally, "I've given you example," he tells the church at Ephesus or the elders. He says, "by laboring like this, that you must support the weak." He used the word must. Those that are hurting, those that are without, those that need a hand up. Amen? He says, "you must support the weak." And listen to what he says. He says, "and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said this, it is more," say that word more. Oh, yes, it is. "It is more blessed to" what? "To give than to receive." This morning, we're going to talk about that word give, because give is a love word. Amen? Jesus said, "You're more blessed to give." The word blessed means you're, oh, how happy or how fortunate are you would be to be a person who is to be envied. He says, "You're more blessed when you give than you receive." Do you really believe that? I believe it. Let's look at verse 14 now. It says, "Nevertheless," Paul says, he's resuming his thank you letter, okay? He says, "Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress." So Paul says to the church at Philippi, "Listen, that gift that you sent, you're now partners in my distress." And he says, "Nevertheless," he says, "don't think just because I'm content and I'm full and all of those things that I'm not thankful." He says, but "you've done well," or literally that word means "you have done a beautiful thing." He said, you shared. That word, the root word from shared is koinonia, our cafe, koinonia, meaning fellowship, intimacy, communion, partnership, sharing in the same thing, having all things in common. He says, you shared in my distress. You did a beautiful thing. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, now Macedonia was that area where Philippi was located and all the rest of it. He says, when I departed, not while he was there, but when he left Macedonia, he says, no church shared, there's that word again, shared with me concerning giving or financial support, if you will, and receiving, but only you. So they were partners in Paul's distress, and they were also had a tremendous past generosity with Paul. Matter of fact, the church at Philippi is the model of sacrificial, generous giving. So, and Paul used that word now, share. This is his second time. So he says, no church shared with me except you. No church partnered with me. And Paul is saying to them, he says, we are partners together. Do you know that's how God supports his missionary people that he sends out? Amen? Amen. Did you know that this church, we partner with Steve, Carol, the mission team, because that is our global work to go to Mexico? Amen? And that's how we take care of our people and so forth. You know, they're the goers and we're the senders. It works both ways. Now, I wonder why all the other churches that Paul had planted, especially the church at Rome, he's in Rome, why didn't they help him? Why have they forgotten Paul? You know, I can't remember it by my mind, but I think it's in 2:20 of Philippians. Remember what Paul says about Timothy? He says, I have no one like-minded, such as Timothy, who will care for your state. Meaning there's no one in Rome. All the believers in Rome. Remember, some of them were preaching out of selfish ambition and so forth. Remember all that? From chapter 2, he says, the only person I have is Timothy. So Paul, the only support he received was only from the church at Philippi. And look at verse 16. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again. Why? For my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, now look what Paul says, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. In other words, you have a divine credit with our Father in heaven because of your giving. He says, I don't seek the gift. I wasn't hunting for your gift. I wasn't out fishing for a gift. But I'll tell you what Paul was seeking. Again, he said this, your generous giving will be rewarded. Did you know your generous giving will be rewarded? Amen. That's exactly what the Bible teaches. He says, man, the fruit, the credit, the profit that abounds to your account. So whenever we give generously or give to the Lord, Paul is saying here, listen, you're not only blessed here, but you're blessed in heaven as well. He says, indeed, I have all and abound. I'm full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you. And look what he calls this gift. A sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Paul says, he says, I have all. He says, I abound. He says, I am full. He says, I am content. And Paul says that giving, generous giving, or just giving to God is not only rewarded, loved one. Listen, he says that our giving reaches all the way to heaven. Amen? Man, think about that. It's well-pleasing to God. That means God welcomes that. God approves that. He says that their gift was like bringing an offering to God Himself. You know, today in the 21st century church, you know, we don't talk a lot about tithing or giving here until we get to that in that area in the Bible. You know what I mean? Matter of fact, it was so bad, Jesse forgot. You know, I've actually had people come up and ask me, do you guys take up an offering? Especially during the COVID thing, you know, whenever we didn't pass the offering thing and we just had that little box out there. I said, well, just drop it in the box. He says, okay, in the box, huh? Listen, here's the deal. You know what a poor church is? Or, no, look, you know what a poor Christian is? a poor Christian loved one is one, and even a church, is one that doesn't give. Doesn't give unto the Lord. You know, remember Jesus, what he said. He said, he says, when I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. When I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was sick, you came and prayed for me, visited with me. When I was in prison, you visited me. And the righteous came and they said unto the Lord, Lord, when did we see you hungry? When did we feed you? And then Jesus says in Matthew 25:40, Jesus says, and the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. See, when we give, think about that, loved one. Jesus, you're doing it for me as well. You know, the church at Philippi, their giving was not only a sweet-smelling aroma, but Paul called it a sacrifice. And you're going to notice that Paul spoke about his need, poverty, in verse 16. And in verse 19, we're going to talk about need, which is the same word used in verse 16 about Paul's poverty again. But it was, and I'll talk to you in a moment about their sacrifice, but look at verse 19, a verse that you know by heart. You've memorized it probably when the first day you were saved. It says, and my God, did you catch that? My God. It's personal. Paul says, my God. It doesn't say my sweat. It doesn't say my ability. It doesn't say my intelligence. It doesn't say my wisdom. It says, my God shall supply what? All your need. How? According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know, we know this scripture, but do you believe this scripture? I'm telling you, this scripture quoted all over the TV, Christian TV, and you know what I'm saying? It is one of the most misquoted scriptures in the Bible, loved one. Listen, God says, I'm going to supply all of your needs. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for that according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know, one day Jesus asked Peter, said, Peter, launch out, Peter. I need to borrow your boat. You know what? When you lend Jesus your boat and you go out and he uses it as a pulpit, he comes back to shore. Did they have any fish? They were loaded. You know, whenever Philip comes up and Jesus said, what are we going to feed all these 5,000 people with? You know, and Jesus said, well, I don't know, you know, you feed them. And he says, well, we have a little boy's lunch here, but it's not enough. Well, how many people ate the fishes and the loaves? Yes. And guess what? How many baskets were left over? 12. You hang out with the Lord, huh? The Bible tells us, it says, you know, God says in his word, he says, Proverbs 19:17, when you give to God, now listen, he says, he who have pity, that means not feeling sorry for someone, but looking at someone and say, okay, they need my help. He who have pity on the poor lendeth unto God, and God will pay back what has been given. Amen? You know, think about God supplying all of our needs. Listen, you present yourself a living sacrifice unto God. You're going to be rich because you already are rich. Now, Bill, what do you mean? I'm saying you're going to be rich by following Jesus. There's not a greater life than following Jesus. Amen. Oh, listen, the Bible says in John 8:12, what did Jesus say? I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Life, that's what we want. What did Jesus say in John 10:10? He says, I've come that you might have what? Life, and have life more abundantly. Mark 1:17, follow me, you'll be fishers of men. I'll make you fishers of men. Not only that, when you follow the Lord, you're talking about rich. It says, and victory, it says, I'm trying to remember this morning, I guess we're all fuzzy today. I don't know why. 2 Corinthians 2:14, thanks be unto God who always gives us the victory. How? Through Christ Jesus our Lord. Wherever you follow the Lord, whether you believe it or not, you are walking in victory. Amen? So listen, you talking about God supplying all of our needs. Look at it. It says, shall supply all your need. How? According to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. It said, it didn't say may supply. It didn't say that. It didn't say, well, not under some and certain limitations or whatever. It says, but shall supply what? All your need. And how does he do that? According to his that's God our Father, his riches in glory by Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen, that the riches, his riches in glory, that is beyond calculation. Amen? I mean, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. All the silver, all the gold is his. Amen? This earth and the fullness thereof and all the people, God owns it all. And we are co-heirs with Christ. Amen? And I look and I say, oh, Lord, you know what? There's not one need that God can't supply. What does it say to Psalm? What did David say? He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not. You know what that word means? Lack. I'll not lack anything. Why? The Lord is my shepherd. And all of this is done. All of this is administrated by those that are in Christ Jesus, by Jesus, on our behalf. Ephesians 1:3, thanks be unto God our Father who has blessed us, that's past tense, blessed us with what? Every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's not talking about heaven, loved one. That's talking about right now, today. We're a blessed people. Look at it again. He says in 4:19, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now listen carefully. Here we are again. This is no different than verse 13. Right here is a beautiful, comforting, thank God, a wonderful promise that has been so misunderstood and has been so mistaught and it has been taken out of context so many times. And I think that's why Paul saved the giving and money and all the rest of it to the very end. And he says, you know, he says, listen, here's the deal. This scripture has been taken out of context. If you take a scripture out of context, you can build a doctrine on it. Did you know that? Yeah. I mean, you can just, you know, just flip through your Bible, you know, Judas hung himself. Okay, flip again. Go do likewise. No, that doesn't, you know what I'm saying? No, you to know the text, you must, to know your text, you must what? Read the context. Amen? You can't pull this letter apart like that and just separate this and make your own doctrine out of it. You can't do that. Listen, who was this promise given to? Was it given to the Corinthians? No. Was it given to the Colossians? No. Thank you. Was it given to the Thessalonians? No. No, listen. It was given to the Philippians. Why was it given? Listen. Because over and over, we just read it again and again, they supported the Apostle Paul and they did many other things with their generosity. So in context, listen to me, in context now, this promise is not to those who don't give. This promise is to those who do give. Does that make sense? And give is a love word, loved one. Oh, it's a wonderful word. Listen, Paul even used the Philippians as an example to motivate the carnal Christians at the church at Corinth. Remember what I said earlier about that Paul called their giving to him an aroma, a sweet-smelling sacrifice? Look, I want you to turn in your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians. And I didn't give my offering. No wonder I'm confused. But I have it. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Turn there with me. And look at verse 1. Now watch this. Remember again that I talked earlier about the Philippians, that their giving was a sacrifice. Now watch this in 2 Corinthians 8:1. Paul says, moreover, brethren, we made known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Now that included Philippi. He says that is a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy, their deep poverty, meaning poverty at the very deepest, loved one. He says, abounded or literally overflowed in the riches of their liberality or their lavish generosity. Let me read it from the J.B. Phillips translation. He says, somehow in the most difficult circumstances, their joy and the fact of being down to their last penny themselves produced a magnificent concern for other people. Listen, if any church, the Philippians, if any church had a reason not to give, it would have been the church at Philippi. Amen? But listen to me, when was their joy demonstrated? It wasn't in their great trial of affliction or in their extreme poverty, but it's when they gave. Think about that for a minute. I mean, they gave generously out of their poverty, not out of their abundance. You see, the word give truly is a love word. Isn't it wonderful to give hope to people, to bless people, just to give a smile to people, to give a helping hand to people, and to give support to whatever God's called us to support? Amen? Oh, listen, he says in verse 3, "For I bear witness that according to their ability," yes, and beyond their ability, "they were freely willing," imploring, that word means they were begging us with much urgency that we would receive the gift, meaning that financial gift. And remember, that financial gift was for the poor saints in Jerusalem, by the way, that were going through that horrible famine and all the rest of it. He says, "Receive this with urgency, we would receive the gift and the fellowship and the ministering of the saints." So it's amazing. You're talking about the joy of giving. The Macedonian churches, that included Philippi, for the saints of Jerusalem, listen, they were begging Paul to give. I have never pastored a church where I have to beg people, please don't give any more. Come on. You're wearing out the people that count the funds. They can't take it anymore. They've got $100 bills stacked up everywhere, and the checks, you're killing those people. I've never had that problem here. No, listen. He says, "And not only as we had hoped, but they first," here it comes, look at this, "but they first," meaning these churches, meaning Philippi, "they first did something. They gave themselves to the Lord and then to us." How? "By the will of God." They gave themselves first to God. They were living sacrifices, if you will. And whenever you become a living sacrifice, it will result in the right kind of giving in your life. They understood that everything they had really belonged to God. Do you know that? Everything we have belongs to God. Oh, loved one, listen, we're just stewards on it. Stewards. And they weren't under any obligation. They weren't under some duty. They did it because giving is a love word, loved one. They wanted to do these things. Hebrews 13:16 says, "Don't forget to do good and share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased." Now, go right over to chapter 9, beginning in verse 3 of 2 Corinthians. Look at it with me. He says, "For I've sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this respect, that I said," or as I said, "you may be ready," talking about this gift now that was going to go to Jerusalem, "lest if some of the Macedonians," and that means Philippi, "come with me and find you unprepared, and we," not to mention you, "should be ashamed of this confident boasting. So therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your," what kind of gift? "Generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised," and the reason, "that it may be ready, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity," or generous giving, or a generous gift, and watch this now, "and not as a grudging obligation." Paul says, listen, I want you to give to God the right way. And you have to give God a heart offering, not a guilt offering. Amen? Oh, that's right. He says, not grudging obligation. You know what that means? It means to apply pressure to an individual. In other words, to squeeze. Squeeze. I don't know. You know, to squeeze, you know, an offering out of someone. I knew a man, he's gone home to be with the Lord. If I called his name, you'd know who he is. Something that the old people would. He would lock the doors on his church. If the offering wasn't enough at the Sunday service, he would lock the doors and take up enough, and he'd keep taking it up until it was enough. People were ready to go home. "I'll give. Just let me out of here." You understand? But that's a true word. He was on TV, and I'm not going to go into it, but anyway. No, listen, the Bible, that's not, you know, God didn't call pastors to squeeze money out of sheep, amen? I've liked to squeeze some of the sheep, but not their money, all right? Now, With all that being said, you know this next scripture. Look at verse 6. He says, but this I say, look at this incredible truth. He who sows what? Sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Listen, we as believers, we're under an incredible supernatural law, if you will. You know, we really reap in the measure that we sow. Now listen, is God's word true or false? Okay, you just read it. There it is right there. Listen, this is not giving to get, by the way. That's wrong. You know, giving to get, oh, loved one, listen, that's the lowest heart motive that a Christian can have. Oh, that's horrible. This is my offering. My tithe is the next service. I always give an offering, a tithe and an offering every Sunday to the Lord because I believe in that. Now, I don't just preach it and preach it, and I don't, you know me. My gosh, we've been breaking bread now for nearly 30 years, amen, together. But Lord, I believe with all my heart where God guides, He provides. But the fact of the matter is we, whatever we sow, that's what we're going to reap, loved one. And giving is the lifestyle, or should be the lifestyle, of every true believer in Christ Jesus. I mean, out of all the people on earth, it doesn't seem strange that you have to, that some pastors, and I love them and I'm not being critical, but they have to beg the church to give. Isn't that heartbreaking? I mean, out of all the people on earth, we're the king's kids, amen? Oh, dear Lord. He says, no. And so many Christians today, because we know that probably, 3% maybe of the church tithes today? Think about that. You know, so many Christians today, they believe that giving or generous giving unto God is a loss. But that's not true. What did Jesus tell us? His own words in Luke 6:38. Listen to Jesus. He says, give. Oh, that's a beautiful word, isn't it? It's a love word, loved one. He says, give and it shall be given to you. How? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. Here it is. For with the same measure you use it, it will be measured back to you. Don't define how God measures it back to you. Amen. Okay, you don't let God define the way He gives it back. The Bible says, remember when Paul wrote the church at Galatia? He says in Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Everyone and everything on this planet is sowing and reaping. And whatever, loved one, means whatever. It is a universal law. It is absolutely unchangeable. It cannot be revoked. If a farmer goes out and a farmer sows wheat or corn, do you think that he's starting to doubt? Do you think I'm going to get wheat or corn? No. If you sow corn, what are you going to get? Corn. Hello? I mean, whatever you sow, you're going to reap. That harvest is not going to change. Job put it this way in Job 4:8. He says, those who plow iniquity and sow trouble, they reap the same. Here's a positive one. Proverbs 11:18. But he who sows righteousness will have a sure reward. Here's a negative one. Proverbs 22:8. He who sows iniquity will reap sorrow. Boy, it's a true word. And even about our hearing. Listen to what Jesus says in Mark 4:23. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And then Jesus said unto them, take heed what you hear. For with the same measure you use it, meaning use what you hear. You hear God's word. The same measure that you use it, it will be measured to you. And what you hear, more will be given. Now look at verse 7. It says, so let each one, meaning every believer, each one give, how? As he purposes in his heart, meaning a predetermined amount, not given out of impulse, okay? As he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity. Why? For God loves a what? A cheerful what? A cheerful giver. Listen, not grudgingly. Isn't it terrible? God doesn't want you to be a sad giver, you know? I'm going to put $2 in there. Come on, guys. No, not a necessity. That's not Christian giving. Listen, every Christian gives as he purposes in his heart. Why? Because that is true giving. Listen, we only sow or we only reap when we sow with the right motive and the right motivation. Our heart must be in our giving. Pastor Chuck, I heard him say it, if not once, 1,000 times. If you can't give to God without grieving in your heart, if you can't give unto God without being sad, please keep it. And you know what? Because it won't prosper you. Do you understand? That's the wrong motivation. And God doesn't bless that. No, listen, God doesn't need, giving doesn't benefit God. It doesn't. No, it benefits you. It benefits me. What kind of giving does God truly desire? Look at it. God loves a cheerful giver. He takes special pleasure in those who give cheerfully to the Lord. Maybe you should ask yourself, what kind of giver are you? We're closing out Paul's epistle. Now, what kind of giver are you? Money is amoral, right? It doesn't have a personality. It takes on the personality of the person who has it in their wallets. Amen? The money is a wonderful thing. You say, no, it's the root of all evil. No, it's not the root. It's a root. Amen? A root. No, listen, money is a wonderful thing as long as it's not your God. You see what I mean? He says, quickly, I have to hurry now. He says, and God is able, or God has the power to make all grace, the unmerited, unbelievable, unearned favor of the living God, what? Abound toward you. Talking about in your giving. Why? Well, that you always having all sufficiency, and watch this, in all things, look at the purpose, may have an abundance for every good what? Man, what is that? You know what this says? That giving unto God affects all of our life throughout our life. That reaping and sowing and so forth. It says having all sufficiencies in sufficiency or having sufficiency in all things. That's Christ's sufficiency, not self-sufficiency. So the result of giving the right way is cheerful giving to the Lord. Now, but why does God do that? It says, look at it, that we may have an abundance for every kind of good work. We were created for good works. Amen? Now, here's the deal. Listen carefully. Note that it said, I just read it, that God is able. God is able. That's a very important word there. In other words, it does not say he will. It says God is able to do this. So what does that mean? God is saying in context here, he's saying, okay, if you sow, you will reap. Does that make sense? But if you're going to sow, and you're going to have to do it the right way, you have to give to the Lord with a cheerful heart and so forth. Now, giving cheerfully is what activates Philippians 4:19. Are you ready? Amen? Okay, I wanted to make sure you got that. Now, let me say something to you. Anytime we talk about money here, I feel the resistance. That's why I'm stuttering and stammering. I'm not going to take up an offering or anything, guys. I'm not asking for anything special this morning, but I want to ask you a question, and this is true. You know it's true, or it was. I can say it may be true in one point in your life. Why? And today, it's a problem in many lives in the church. Why does the word tithe, or offering, or giving? Giving money? Bother? Not all Christians. But many Christians. Why does that? Why? Listen, why does this scripture bother many believers? Let me read it to you from the Old Testament. You know it by heart. Malachi 3:10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food, God says, in my house. Is God hungry? Does God need food? No, but other people need food. Amen? Okay, he says, bring all the tithe in there. Why? That there may be food in my house. And here it comes. You've heard this one. And he says, and try me or prove me, test me. The only place in the Bible God asks us to put him to the test. He says, and prove me now in this, saith the Lord of hosts. See, if I will not open for you the windows or the floodgates of heaven and pour out on you, now listen carefully, pour out on you not a blessing, but such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. That means it's a blessing that is measureless, okay? There's not going to be room, and so forth. Now listen, I've taught through Malachi. You know that and like I told you, remember the theme of Malachi? Tithing is included in the theme, but that's not the theme of Malachi 3:10 that I just read. You know what it is? It's God's faithfulness. He says, prove me. See, can I be trusted? Prove me. Put me to the test. Put me to the test. And he's talking about money. Jesus talked more about money in the New Testament than he did heaven and hell combined, loved one. Oh, listen. He says, no, listen, just prove me now, right now. And so you can't prove verse 10 unless you give. Does that make sense? It's just the way it is. I'm not going to prove. I don't want to prove you. Okay. Well, it's okay. But the fact is, if you, God, just put me to the test, find out if I'm trustworthy, find out if I'm ever been unfaithful to you, prove me now. He tells them and he tells us today about giving. Giving is a love word, loved one. Listen, that is a beautiful word. And you know, the thing is that Christians need to turn, the people on TV, some of them, they've turned people off by giving. You know, giving is a beautiful word. Giving is a love word. Giving is a word that came down from God. And I say, oh, Lord, you know, listen, you're giving to Jesus. You're giving whenever you put something. Here it is. You know, the Lord must have done that on purpose. Did that, done that? I don't care. You see this right here? This right here. This is my offering, okay? Now, listen, I want to give this. I'm not expecting anything back, but I know God's going to do something for me. And you know what I mean? See, I don't look at this as money. I look at this as giving unto God. And then God will do with whatever he wants to do with it. Loved one, listen, you can take that word, the giving word, or tithe or offering. You know what that word really means? This means love. I'm giving this because I love people. Do you understand? This offering is going, last week it was Mexico, this week is to Haltom Christian School. Do you understand? Oh, you should have been here Thursday night for the graduation. You talking about this? I hope it's going to be on their website or Facebook. That was Paul Koo and I were talking about that. He was in tears. I was back there. I was in tears. The Spirit of the Lord moved in this place. They were singing Psalm 91. Those kids. I'm telling you what, it melted me right there. I mean, the presence of God flooded this chapel. It was glorious. No, listen. You see this right here? This is love. Let me show you. 1 John 3:17. Whoever has this world's goods, meaning the haves, okay, they have a little money on them, and sees his brother in need, that's the have not, he doesn't have anything right now, and shuts up his heart from him, here it comes, how does the love of God abide in him? See, giving, is a love word, amen? No, he says, you know, when you look at your tithe, you look at your giving, listen, it feeds those, loved one, that have no food. It gives hope to the hopeless. You know, it sends a mission team. It supports our global work in Mexico, our local work, which is Haltom Christian School. We get to share the gospel with people so they don't have to go to eternal hell. Amen? Oh, listen, giving or give is a love word. Down in Mexico, what are we doing right now? That's where Steve and Carol, they are right now. Loved one. We, you know what that giving is? They have a future because of you. You see, last week it was Mexico missions. Why? They're having a future because of me and because of, does that make sense? They have hope because of you. See, give is a love word, loved one. No, listen, not only that, they have a future, and these children, they have a warm bed, they have a full stomach, and they have life. Why? Because of you. Do you remember in 2018 when God gave me the word, remember the word for the year was Malachi 3:10? And I went to the Lord in prayer and I said, you got to be kidding me. I said, Lord, I don't beg for money. Is this going to be a year of begging for money from your sheep? I've never done that ever in my ministry. Never have I done that. And I said, Lord, I said, and I did. Now, listen, it wasn't because I was afraid to preach it or afraid of you or afraid of none. It was like, I don't want to be known as someone who begs. I can't, that's horrible. It's not in me. I don't ever worry about money here. Do you understand? Okay, Lord, I do sometimes. And remember, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, please, don't let me. I never want to be disobedient, but I'm in my prayer time at home, and I know that God wants me to teach this, and I'm going, Lord, I just don't get it. Why would you want me to teach Malachi 3:10? You know, and the Lord spoke to my heart, said, prove me now, Bill. And I said, well, show me. Show me. I said, please prove. Prove to me that I'm to teach Malachi 3:10. That's the New Year's message. Remember? I said, Lord, please, I have to know, or I can't go into the pulpit with confidence and faith. I need to know why. Why do you want me? Why I'm going to do this? And there I was, you know, praying about the word and arguing with God. And remember how the telephone rang? I was at home on a Friday and wasn't supposed to be home on a Friday, but my plumbing was broken. And because Friday's my big day to be here to start thinking about Sunday and all that. And a person on the end of the line said, hey, Bill, I need to stop by. I'm going to talk to you. And I'm going, now I've got a plumber here. Now I'm going to have to be counseling. I open the door, and the person is crying. Big man, you know, he's crying. And I go, what's wrong? He says, I'm weeping for joy. I said, you are? I said, you don't need counseling, you know? I said, praise, you know? And he says, why are you weeping? He says, because it is a joy to give. He said to me, I hadn't even opened my door yet, just the screen door, you know, my big door, not the other door. He's still there. And he says, God loves a cheerful giver. So he comes in, he sits down, he hands me an envelope. Y'all remember the story? I said, God, I didn't want to preach this sermon. You know, oh, Lord, this can't be the New Year's message. And what does that man do? He hands me an envelope. Says, this is an offering for your church. I said, well, it's not my church, but you know what I meant. And I said, well, thank you. He says, I want you to open. I said, I don't look at tithes and offerings. He says, open it. I said, well, okay. You know? So I open up and I look at the amount. Remember what I told you in 2018? There I was. And I said, it was for $25,000. No. I said, it was for $50,000. No. It was for $75,000. No. It was for $100,000. No. It was a check for over $217,000. And listen, the Holy Spirit filled my living room. And the Lord spoke to my heart and he said, did I not tell you that I was going to open the windows of heaven for you in Calvary Chapel? And I said to the Lord, prove it. He did. Listen, God's word is true. I mean, this person didn't even belong to this church, loved one. God sent him all the way over for some little stupid pastor like me to say, wake up, Bill. When I tell you to do something, you do it. Do you understand me? See, God's word, loved one, is such a true word. Man, giving is a love word. And that's why Paul, let's close this thing out. Look at verse 20, and then you can go home. It says, now to our God, and I love this, and Father, the glory forever and ever, amen. And I say amen to that. Our Father, our Heavenly Father knows the needs that we have before we even pray, amen. He gives us out of his riches of glory. He takes care of us, loved one. Oh, listen, man, you know that we're more valued than the birds and the flowers. He says, oh, greet every saint. Do you know that's the only place in the New Testament the word saint is in the singular? It's the only place. He says, I want you to greet every saint. He says, and not only that, in Jesus Christ, the brethren who are with me, they greet you. So that'd be probably Epaphroditus and Timothy and maybe somebody else. And he says, we're the saints of God. We're set apart for God. Amen? We're set apart for God's plans and purposes. The word saint is hagios. We're holy unto the Lord. But that's our position. We need to make our position our practice. Amen? He's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, loved one. He says, oh, greet all the saints. They greet you, but especially, watch this, especially, that word means above all and most of all, those who are of Caesar's household. Think about that. Remember how Paul chained to a guard, the Praetorian Guard? There was 9,000 of those guards. And guess what? People now have been saved. Not only guards were being saved, but members of Caesar's own very household were being saved. And he says, oh, the grace, that unmerited, unlimited, unearned, divine favor of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. The word you there, you probably have a number by it, and if you have a center line reference, it literally should read, and the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. With your spirit. Why with your spirit? Because your flesh is not redeemed, is it? No, our spirit is the highest part of our being, loved one. Listen, it's as many as are led by the Spirit. They are the sons of God. We've received the spirit of adoption, the Bible says, where we cry out, Abba, Father, where His Spirit, the Spirit Himself, bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of the living God. Amen? Oh, thank God for that. He says, listen, He says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And then he says, so be it. Paul in chains, Paul in prison, he is content, he is full, he is strong, and not only that, he is filled with joy. And what does he do? He lays down his pen. Oh, what a great epistle. Never get that divine outline into your hearts, loved one. You know, the chapter 1, remember? Christ, our life, 121. For me to live is Christ. Chapter 2, get it down into your heart right now. Jesus is our example, Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus our Lord. Philippians chapter 3, that I may know him, that Christ is our goal, remember? And then all of this is accomplished how? 4:13. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Loved one, listen. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Why? Because give is a love word. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave. So loved the world, he gave. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for this great epistle. Oh, Lord, it has blessed me again and again to preach it. How wonderful, Lord, it is. And Father, I pray over the sheep of your pasture that the word give, especially giving unto you, Father, giving unto you, Jesus, listen, that it would become a love word to them in this church as well. And Father, I do pray this morning, Lord, that there's anyone here, if Jesus Christ is not their Lord, that Lord, we're going to close out with a song. I pray that there'll be people at the altar after the song is over. I pray that they will come down and give their hearts and lives to Jesus Christ. They just come down on their own, Lord. They don't need me. They just need you to touch their heart. Bring them down. Lord, we love you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning, shall we? I pray you have a wonderful, safe Memorial Day weekend. I pray that you remember those who have sacrificed their lives for our sake and for our nation. I pray that you are strengthened. I pray that you go back through Philippians one more time and get that divine outline. Let it be alive in your heart. If you need prayer, there'll be people here to pray with you as well. If you're here first-time visitor, I'm going to depart now to the main lobby. There's a welcome center there. They have a free gift they'd like to give to you, and I'd like to meet you as well. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. In Jesus' name, I love you dearly.